Welcome in, folks. Gang's all here. Pat Brennan, your FC Cincinnati beat reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer, Cincinnati.com. Joined, as always, by producer Phil Didion. Sometimes in life, you have to take matters into your own hands, folks. Make an executive decision. That's what Phil and I have done today. We have moved off of the 312 Elm Street. What would you call it, Phil? TV set?
Video platform.
And we are back for the relaunch of the FC Cincy Beat podcast. It's something, yeah, I'm excited. It was something that we did pretty well in 2016. Tried to get it off the ground with my former colleague and great friend Charlie Hatch in 2017. And the whole thing just stalled out. Video took over. It was the priority. We had advertising attached to it. I don't think that's peeling back the curtain too much for me to say that, right? And yeah, video was just the platform that we chose to deliver our multimedia FC Cincinnati coverage, but podcast works for me. I don't need, there was an uncomfortable vanity aspect to the whole TV multimedia production of having four cameras trained on my face. At one point, I was joined by Lindsay Patterson, and then it was just me in long monologue form, which I don't think anyone was particularly fond of. But now we're back to the FC Cincy Beat podcast under the banner, and there is an actual banner at my home. I commissioned Oxford Pennant, some of you might know them, to produce, design and produce an official FC Cincy Beat banner back in the day. Still exists, still in good form, and so are we. And so we're so happy to bring you the FC Cincy Beat podcast. On today's show, we will recap the first two matches of the MLS season for FC Cincinnati. They start 0-2-0. Six goals against, none for. We look back. And we look ahead. Orlando City SC at the weekend. It's already the second road trip of 2022. So we are off and running, and a little conversation on the FC Cincinnati 2 front. MLS Next Pro getting ready to launch. Good conversations with Tyrone Marshall, one-time FC Cincinnati first team interim head coach. He helps us preview the upcoming MLS Next Pro season, and I'll talk a little bit about why I think that's important. But let's first get into the first two matches of the season. Opening day at Q2 Stadium, Austin FC. FC Cincinnati on the back of the Bengals Super Bowl run. I was really curious to see how much interest FC Cincinnati could generate. How much attention can they command after the Bengals run to the Super Bowl? And even with the Bengals losing, you have a short offseason there. Bengals, a lot of offseason storylines. We know the NFL is a 12-month year, 365-day proposition. It really isn't an offseason, especially if you're a fan and in the media side. It just keeps coming. And the combine is already come and gone, so we're well into the draft process. And how does FC Cincinnati compete with that? Initially, pretty effectively was the answer. Between the launch of the Junta Juvant all-orange kit, have one here to my left, it's a beaut. One of the underrated new kits in MLS this year, in my opinion. That really got the ball rolling, I think, ahead of the week leading into the first game at Austin. And I think you had an intrigued, interested, engaged fan base going into the Austin match. And then you kick the game off. And I think you lose some of that momentum when you concede in the second minute of the new season. That's the nature of how that goes. And then you're down 2-0 after 15 minutes. Some real questions being asked of FC Cincinnati in every phase of the game early. Not a lot of responses there. And then finally, you're down 3-0 at halftime. And that game is over at that point. At that point, I said to my colleagues that were down in Austin, you're looking for something to build on here for the match to come. DC United, we'll get into that one next. But you're just looking for a foothold here in the new season. And I guess you can say FC Cincinnati found one, but you'd have to have a discerning eye to see where those footholds were. And ultimately, FC Cincinnati loses 5-0 at Austin. Pat Noonan said afterward, couldn't fault the effort. If you wanted to have a conversation about the execution, he was open to that. I think I can fault the effort there. 5-0. Some unlucky breaks in the game, but ultimately pretty, I mean, if nothing else, the scoreline alone was shocking in that game. Just, you know, tough to maintain momentum when you talk about that interest. And this is, of course, a business for FC Cincinnati. You're trying to maintain audience, maintain eyeballs on your product. And week one at Austin, not doing yourself any favors there. So, but 1 week later, DC United home opener, 22,000 plus on hand, you get a good response, which was important. First time you're going to be playing in front of the vast majority of your regular ticketed fans, maybe a few casuals that you can rope in with a good performance, and you give a good response, but ultimately, which is something that has become the FC Cincinnati style over the years, unfortunate loss. The 3 points were just out there begging to be taken by either team, really. And FC Cincinnati, it was obviously an improvement over the Austin match against DC United. Statistically, that was borne out. And I thought, eyeball test, FC Cincinnati looked pretty good. The only area where they were lacking was in the finishing. In the final third, couldn't put one in the back of the net, but you know, in terms of a game experience, you had a lot of upside there. Some real entertainment value. Some major refereeing decisions that were, three that were checked on video. Two that ultimately went to field side video review. Two of those go against FC Cincinnati, but still, you get entertainment value there. And there's a storyline. And, you know, you had the refereeing crew played the role of villain a little bit. So again, entertainment value in the FC Cincinnati, the product that was put forth at TQL Stadium for the home opener this past weekend. But as has become the custom with FC Cincinnati, and something we hope becomes less and less the case under Pat Noonan, this team did find a way to lose it, cruelly, I should say, but handball, 96th, 97th minute of the match, Jeff Cameron. The center official initially missed that, but video review, play went the other way, called back, penalty awarded. Ola Kamara, he's not missing from the spot. I think he converted 9 out of 10. Spot kick attempts last season. He's 1 for 1 in 2022. And that dropped FC Cincinnati to 0-2-0 to begin the season. Tough loss, but we put the two losses in context in our next segment, because we look at Austin and we look at DC United, and right now those losses don't look too bad. We'll talk about that more on the next segment of the FC Cincy Beat podcast.
Let me tell you about the new sports app we've launched as part of our USA Today family. USA Today Sports Plus is the new sports app that puts the fans first. Get the latest scores, stats, and standings, and enjoy interactive experiences with our award-winning sports writers. Download USA Today Sports Plus from the Apple or Google Play stores today. USA Today Sports Plus, fan harder.
We are back for the final segment of the rebirth, the rehatching, the reintroduction of the FC Cincy Beat podcast. Breaking down, we're putting the first two FC Cincinnati matches into some kind of context right now. I think, look, two matches into the season, the concerning thing for me about FC Cincinnati is that they have not scored yet. That, unfortunately, is a franchise first and worst. This is the seventh season of FC Cincinnati football. Never before have they gone without a goal in both of the first two games of the season. This is the first time they have failed to score in the first two games of the season. What does that mean? Probably not a lot necessarily. The Seattle Sounders are also 0-2-0 in Major League Soccer on the Western Conference side of the equation. And I'm not comparing FC Cincinnati to the Seattle Sounders by any stretch of the imagination. I think I picked, in a USA Today piece, I think I picked Seattle to win the Supporters' Shield. I still feel good about that, by the way. But the point being, 32 matches still to play. There is nothing that says FC Cincinnati can't rebound from this start. And when you look at the two teams that have beaten FC Cincinnati, it adds a little more credence to the idea that, you know, we need more time. We need a larger sample size, because right now, Austin FC is +9 in goal difference, 5 goals in both of its first two games, albeit against FC Cincinnati and Inter Miami. I don't think anyone thinks those two teams are going on a legitimate MLS Cup run this season, but look, you can't reasonably say that has been anything other than very impressive from Austin. So, yeah, Austin leading the Western Conference right now. DC United, +4 goal difference, have not allowed a goal against so far in 2022. They're second in the East. Last season, DC United finished one single point outside of the seventh and final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. So, still a lot to be determined, a lot to be said and written about these teams and about FC Cincinnati. But right now, you're looking at these two games, at the very least, you have to say FC Cincinnati looks like it might have run into a couple of buzzsaws early on. And they have a chance to redeem themselves at the weekend at Orlando City SC. Faced Orlando in preseason, drew 2-2. Obviously, throw that result out the window, but it's worth mentioning that it happened not very long ago. FC Cincinnati never beaten Orlando in MLS, and it's been quite a long time since they beat even the Orlando City B team. We're going back to USL days to talk about that, so that's not really especially relevant. But 7:30 p.m. kick at Exploria Stadium down in Orlando. Question marks for FC Cincinnati ahead of this one. Ronald Matarrita, I've been training off to the side, out of view so far this week. We're recording on Wednesday afternoon, so haven't seen Ronald Matarrita. He obviously picked up a knock in the Austin match, did not dress for DC United. Gustavo Villasia, concerningly for me, because I think he would be preferred over Tyler Blackett. Not that I think Tyler Blackett's a bad player, but I think Gustavo Villasia, a little more upside there at this stage in his career. Maybe just an all-around better center back. Gustavo Villasia training off to the side, as is John Nelson, at least on Tuesday of this week. So with Ronald Matarrita, the concern there is today is we're recording this on March 9th. FC Cincinnati plays Orlando on the 12th. CONCACAF 2022 World Cup qualifying will be staged later this month, and the national teams in this part of the world are going to reconvene soon. My fear with Ronald is that if he doesn't get healthy in time for the Orlando match, might not see him again. The camps have not been called yet. Players have not been named to the camps. Those evaluations by the national team managers are still taking place. But, you know, that's two or three more games where we won't see Ronald. And we know from last year what an impact he can have for FC Cincinnati and how much it hurts when he's out of the picture. Last year was an especially busy time for the Costa Rican national team. Changed managers. He and Alan Cruz were away for longer periods than I think a lot of people would have hoped for. But last year was also a Gold Cup summer, CONCACAF Nations League, all that happening. And Ronald Matarrita, his eyes might be his preference to, you know, we haven't spoken to him yet in 2022, I believe I'm correct in saying, and it might be his preference at this stage to try to just heal up for his national team because he's still playing for a World Cup berth. I had someone tell me three, four weeks ago, Costa Rica was out of it in CONCACAF World Cup qualifying? I don't think so. Not a lot of margin for error there if you're Costa Rica, but they're still in the game certainly for a playoff spot. I don't have the standings or the math up in front of me here, but slim margins for Costa Rica. They're still alive and well in that competition. And if I think most people have circled the Panama game for the U.S. men's national team as I think a lot of people are hoping that the U.S. men's national team wraps up their qualifying campaign and qualifies for Qatar against Panama, which is the middle of three games that they play. First Mexico, then Panama, home at Exploria Stadium, where FC Cincinnati will be this weekend, and then at Costa Rica. The U.S. men don't want to go down to Costa Rica with both of those teams having something to play for. That's not a good situation for the U.S. men because they don't win down in Costa Rica. So you want to see, you know, Costa Rica, it's a little bit out of their control. They need results to go their way. And then they need to make it to the last match day of the entire qualifying cycle. And then if they beat the United States, we'd see where they fall. But Yeah, Ronald Matarrita with a World Cup berth to play for. That might be his priority at this point. Obviously, that's a conversation he has to have with the team, and you know, the team pays his wages. So, and he is a team guy. None of this is to insinuate that he doesn't prioritize playing for FC Cincinnati. But a World Cup berth is something special. That's sometimes it's a once in a lifetime, and for most players, it's not even doesn't even come around that often. It just doesn't come around at all. So, interesting to see what happens with Ronald there. National team call-ups are looming, and hopeful that we see him on the field against Orlando. Whether or not that happens, we will have to check in with you on the second episode of Beyond the Beyond the Net. Let's run with it. Let's run with it. Let's let this run. Beyond the Net, you know, that was, I'm going to leave it up to you, Phil. I would prefer to leave this in, this commentary in. So the name of our video production that Lindsay Patterson and I did was called Beyond the Net. And for people that don't know, Beyond the Net, we did one episode of video preview before the Austin match, Phil, producer Phil and I conferring here. And just for years, we had this Beyond the Net show. And it was great. I think we tried to do like a live streaming thing down at the Holy Grail Banks, which is obviously, you know, one of the best known sports bar hotspots in the city. We would have players from the team come down to Holy Grail. They sign autographs for fans, had a couple nice crowds. And the name though, Beyond the Net, never really my favorite. Thought we could have done better there. And, you know, increasing, I tend to be sheepish in these newsroom conversations, not speak up about these things. I'm kind of getting to a point in my career where it's like, why not just say what's on my mind? I think it's, you know, it's important to do that. And anyway, Beyond the Net, that was a playoff of the highly, highly successful Beyond the Stripes. Do we still have? No, Beyond the Stripes. Phil tells me long since disappeared. I'm going to get wrapped on the knuckles here by at least one person for not being up on the names of our productions. But Beyond the Net, or Beyond the Stripes, was our Bengals kind of studio style show. Also sometimes shot on location at different establishments around town. Highly, highly successful. You know, several regimes of Cincinnati.com sports editors oversaw that. All of them did great things with it, new and different things. Each one was able to kind of put their stamp on it. So FC Cincinnati gets the MLS. There's a demand there for a video production, and I'm all about it, you know. Don't need my face out there. I don't have an ego like that. But if the employer says, hey, there's a demand for this, let's do it. Absolutely. 100%. And we landed on the name Beyond the Net. And it just wasn't my favorite. Beyond the Stripes, you think Bengals, you know, stripes. It's not the first thing you think of necessarily, but it's like if you gave someone a list, said list 50 words that you associate as a fan with the Bengals. You know, the tiger animal, the stripes. I think that's going to be up there. So that one just clicked. It rolled off the tongue. Beyond the Net never rolled off the tongue for me. And I don't think it's the first. The net is not the thing you think about, I think, when you think about soccer, you know? I was always hoping for like Beyond the Touchline. Beyond the technical area, beyond the gantry, beyond the, I don't know, beyond the Gary, beyond the Knifey Lion, beyond the FC. I don't know. They didn't confer with me on the name of the production, and probably for good reason. Anyway, this will be called the FC Cincy Beat Podcast, and we will give you that Ronald Matarita update on the second edition of the new regime, the reintroduction of the FC Cincy Beat Podcast. Now I've got Beyond the Net stuck in my head. Ugh, there's so much work to do on this, but we're getting there, and it's important to get the ball rolling. So thanks a lot for tuning in. Thank you to producer Phil. Great job today. And we will catch you guys after the Orlando City SC match. See you then.